Let us pause. Oh God, we thank you for your word, for your word is piercing and cutting at times, but nurturing and comforting at times. May we receive what you have to say to us today, and may it be helpful and useful. And may we be able to apply what you have for us today. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We've all heard the cliche, the third time is a charm. And that usually means that after the third time, something finally worked, or something worked out the way it's supposed to be or is meant to be. Finally sticks or takes or gets finished. And it's quite a contrast to three strikes and you're out, or to the crimes where, well, after the third time, then you are in prison. In verse 14 of today's passage, it says this: now this is the third time that Jesus appears to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. I guess Jesus found it necessary to appear three times to them. But we back up and we see what happened during those other times. Last week I talked about, from John chapter 20, about how Jesus appeared to them that night of the resurrection, and how he pushed through the fear and he pushed through the walls, and he showed him his hands and his side, and he said, deal with your fear, deal with forgiveness, and peace be with you, three times. On the second appearance, Thomas was there. Thomas wasn't there on the first time, but 8 days later, Jesus shows up, and it's Thomas's turn to feel his hands and his side, and also to receive encouragement. But in between the first time and the second time, it seems that nothing important happens in between them, other than they tell Thomas that they had seen the Lord. Because in the second time, they are still behind shut doors, it says, or locked doors. So you get the sense that they hadn't gotten over what they were going through, whether it was their fear or whether it was their ambiguity or grief or whatever they were going through. So now this is the third time. Now, we don't know how many days had passed between the second time and the third time. But what we do know is we find them fishing. It is reminiscent of that story in Luke chapter 5 where they first meet Jesus for the first time, or early on, I mean. And they are fishing, and they are not successful, and their nets are empty. And Jesus says, cast your net on the other side. And so they do, and pretty soon their nets are full. So in this third appearance, the same thing happens. And so their nets are full, and they haul it to shore, and Jesus said, let's have breakfast. And they take some of the fish, and they cook it over the fire and have breakfast. Fish for breakfast. They must be Filipino of some kind. After breakfast, then Jesus kind of sends them out. It's like a commissioning of them, saying, okay, now you're going to go out and now you're going to continue my ministry. But he asks three questions again to Peter: do you love me? And again, it's three times. It kind of parallels that denial of three times before he was crucified. The common theme of three things in threes, and it gives Peter the chance to redeem himself. What does this say about the style of leadership of Jesus, and what does it say about the way in which we, if we want to be Christians, if we want to be leaders, what should be our style of leadership? Because if Jesus was sending them out, they needed to have certain qualities about them in order to continue his ministry. So I thought I'd lift some of those out. The first one has to do with what I talked about last week, where Jesus pushes through the walls and pushes through the fear and says to them, deal with your forgiveness and your fear. I won't repeat the whole sermon, but the leadership quality of that part is that of peacefulness. Through and through, we see Jesus' style being peaceful. There's no strong arming, there's no berating, there's no manipulating of anything. Jesus' style is peaceful. Remember the time when he was arrested and one of the disciples took a sword and sliced off the ear of one of the guards. And Jesus' response, of course, was, put away the sword. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. Behold, I will send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. And so you need to be as shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Doves, the peace, the universal peace symbol. A significant aspect of his leadership is also something that involves food. Feeding of the multitudes, the breaking of the bread in the sacrament. Remember when he went to Zacchaeus' house to share a meal. And of course, on the third time after he rose, he has breakfast with them. Numerous images that have to do with meals being so solemn and sacred and spiritual, but on the other hand, images of celebration where there are weddings and banquets and meals that surround ministry, which we have taken to practice and taken to heart. But more than anything, I think the characteristic that Jesus exemplifies and what he is trying to show as an example to us is that his style is that of encouragement. Jesus' style of leading and teaching, Jesus' style of motivating is by encouraging. Let's talk about that. First, there is patience and perseverance with people. Sometimes we forget that the disciples were given lots of chances. Jesus had them in so many situations, but during the time in which he was getting ready to die, they had a chance to stand up for him and stand up for what was right. But what was their response? They fell asleep. They betrayed, they denied, they fled, they hid, they abandoned. Jesus could have lost patience with his disciples. He could have said, forget you. I'm going to try some other people. He could have given up. But here we are, after the resurrection, he calls them again and he says, follow me and feed my sheep. They had failed him before, numerous times, but here he is again, returning to them, giving them another chance. He shows faith, he shows patience and perseverance with them, even though they're flawed and weak. Encouraging is also done in a very kind and compassionate way, caring way. We notice that the demeanor of Jesus is not aggressive, not angry or not hostile, or there's no rage. There isn't maneuvering or manipulating, and there's no recrimination. Jesus doesn't play games with them. He doesn't embarrass them. He doesn't shame them. There's no arm twisting, no threatening, nothing nasty about his leadership. In the news recently, we heard about this coach from this college, and I don't remember which college, but the coach was berating his players, throwing the ball at them, having body contact with them in a very unhealthy way, intimidating, putting them down. That's the way that some leaders operate, but not Jesus. Kind and caring and compassionate. The only time that I can think of is when he goes to Peter and he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter at the time was trying to get Jesus to go to a different destiny, a different way. But even after that, he goes back to Peter and he encourages Peter and he's kind and caring, compassionate, encouraging. This past week, I read an article about the movie 42. Have any of you seen this movie about Jackie Robinson? I was reading an article about it, and Branch Ritchie, who is played by Harrison Ford, was looking in the Negro Leagues and trying to find a player that had this unique gift of the skill of being an excellent ball player, but also having a very good temperament. And he found it in Jackie Robinson, who would break the color barrier. One line in the movie by Ritchie, he says, "I want a player who has the guts not to fight back, for your enemy will be out in force and you cannot meet him at his own low level." There is a fortitude, there is an uncommon courage, or there is an encouraging way of relating and leading and proceeding. Finally, Jesus' leadership offers a style of encouragement that has many chances, not just one or two or three, but many. And with it, there is grace and there is forgiveness. I came across this book about Abraham Lincoln, and he had this Treasury secretary named Salmon Chase. And he and Chase had their differences, and Chase was trying to kind of get his job, and his motives were not so honest and noble. But Lincoln kept him on. But people around him saw it and could tell that Chase was just difficult to work with. And why was Lincoln keeping him on staff? Well, it just showed that Chase was a very capable person, competent, and during the war effort, he helped to raise money and do the proper administration. Lincoln was patient, perseverance, he was gracious, and he was encouraging. And when Chase didn't get his way, he said, "I'm going to resign." He did it three times in order to get his own way. And finally, after the fourth time, Lincoln said, "Okay, I accept it." To the surprise of many, Lincoln appointed Chase to be a Supreme Court justice. And when Lincoln was elected the second time, and during his oath of office, during his second inauguration, who was there to administer it? And there was Chase. To give as many chances as we can to the extent that we can work together to where there's no abuse. If you want to be a Christian leader, if we want to be a good follower, Jesus encourages us to possess these qualities of being encouraging. It's essential, it's fundamental, it's foundational to being a Christian leader. We notice that Jesus doesn't pressure. Jesus doesn't make us feel guilty. Jesus doesn't manipulate, get angry, and there is no nasty, but encourages. We encounter a lot of that in the world, of that kind of manipulative, power-hungry leadership style. One of the gifts of the Spirit that Paul lists in 1 Corinthians is a gift of prophecy. And in verse 3 of chapter 14, it says this: "The one who prophesies speak to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comforting." In other words, the gift of encouraging people is a gift of the Spirit. Now, at times we are tempted, when we lose our focus, when we lose our temper, is to not be encouraging, or to lash out, or to react back. But we should try to be encouraging. That's the better alternative. Let us be encouraging to each other as Christians and as our witness in the world. Amen.